Om Shanti. So we all enjoyed very special Shivratri celebration and raising of Baba's flag with all the dadis and senior brothers, other senior sisters, and you feel something quite special. Because every time we celebrate Shivratri, and especially in Pandabhavan, and this is the place where Brahma Baba had raised the flag, which is a statement. And the statement is that Baba will be revealed, that is, Baba will be known and recognized by everyone one fine day. And as the numbers of people and the numbers of places increase where this is taking place, we can see that this actually becomes a reality. We are a minority at this time, a very, very tiny minority. But there comes a time when that minority changes into a large minority, and when the minority is large, then it becomes known, and ultimately it will become not just the majority, but the totality. And still we are a small minority, so we don't realize what happens when you are a big minority or a majority. Today's subject is creating a powerful attitude. And as you heard in today's Murli, this is something that Baba is giving a lot of importance to. And the word for attitude in Hindi is viritti. And Adi Janki has also been talking to us about this quite a bit. The vritti creates the vayumandal. So the vayumandal, if you break down this word, vayumandal means the air that surrounds you. The air that surrounds you. So it's called the atmosphere. And if you break down the word atmosphere, you have atma, which is a soul, and sphere, which is a big surrounding ball. And so whatever is going on in the attitude of the soul, this attitude fills up a sphere which circles you. And that sphere can be very large. So this is a very important technical aspect of consciousness that we need to understand how this works. So some of you have notebooks, so you could draw a dot with a big circle around it. And that's the geometry that we're working with here. There's another thing that came to my mind while I was sitting with you in meditation just now. And I don't know if you know how to draw a line on both sides of a piece of paper without lifting the pen off the page. Can you do that? And what you have to do is have a kind of thin piece of paper and twist it once and stick it together, and then you can draw a line on both sides of it without lifting the pen. You can try that from one of the pages in your notebooks and see that this is so. And the reason I'm mentioning this is that there is a continuity or a continuum between the body conscious way of changing an atmosphere and the soul conscious way of changing an atmosphere. So an atmosphere is created by an attitude. and an attitude occurs in response to a situation. So, for example, if you have an embarrassing situation that everyone comes to know about, then it creates an atmosphere of being embarrassed, which you want to cover up. You see what I'm saying? And so you cover it up, usually by saying, it didn't really happen. So it could be denial, or you pretend that it's something else. And in that way, you change the atmosphere. That means to say that you use something false in order to make the feeling in the surrounding air into something different. Another example is how an attitude creates an atmosphere is when there is panic. So the classic situation is a cinema that catches fire. So all the people are sitting in the cinema, it's dark, there's a fire, and there's one or two exits, and everybody gets hurt in the crush. Some people get killed. And then in the newspapers it says, it wasn't really a problem. Something like this. So that in the wider society, it's minimized. Or if you want to maximize something, you take a little story and you make it very, very big. So you send rumors all around so that there's an atmosphere in the prevailing thinking of the people, and they think a certain way. So if there's somebody whose reputation you want to ruin, you just send a few stories about that person out in the atmosphere, and then they all start looking at that person that way. You see? And so Baba in the Murli today had given us this task that the circumstances and situations that we will be encountering or that will challenge us as we move forward from now into the future, they will be getting progressively worse. They will not be getting better. So when things get progressively worse, then people become fearful or angry or disturbed or some or another negative feeling goes out into the atmosphere because of the attitude of people. Sometimes you get an atmosphere in a society. You know, I was talking earlier about minorities and majorities. And these days in the world, we have a lot of issues to do with multiple types of populations living together in a place where the economic and social opportunities become stressed because there's an economic downturn. And then the large minority is felt by the larger majority to be the problem. And so they will make an atmosphere of stories that this minority should not be there, they don't belong there, they're taking away our jobs, things like that. And then everybody starts looking at them in that way. And this creates an atmosphere of great difficulty for those against whom those stories are created. And so these are the type of atmospheres that we may find ourselves in. Then bringing it closer to our own situation, Baba was talking about householders in the Murli, particularly the brothers who are married and they're in Gyan. And generally we find that it's quite rare for the entire family to be equally in gyan. You may find one or two cooperative, maybe one is also in gyan and the others are not in gyan, and there may be others who are against. And so those who are against, they will, you know, tell things to you, or they will make your life difficult, which will create an atmosphere of tension in your family surrounding. Have you experienced this? Or it might be that you are in gyan and the people in your workplace come to know about this and they disapprove, and so they will create an atmosphere in the workplace about you that there's something weird about you and that you have to be saved from these dangerous Brahma Kumaris who are making you vegetarian and sweet and things like this, you know. And so you will experience the difficulty of an antagonistic or hostile atmosphere. Have you experienced this? Anyone? Yes, a few of you have. And so Baba is telling us today especially that our vritti has to be so powerful that we can actually alter that atmosphere. And so I wanted to talk about how you do this. What are the techniques for doing this? Because we do find ourselves faced with challenges, and sometimes we say, well, that's a very nice idea, but I don't quite understand how I'm supposed to do this. Do you feel this sometimes? Yeah? Anyone? Yeah. Quite a few. So now what we have to start with is really understanding the mind. And the mind is that very, very subtle, invisible instrument that produces thought. And the mind is very, very sensitive and responsive, but also reactive. And so Baba has told us that we have to conquer our mind. Conquer our mind means that I, the soul, have to exercise my power and authority so that the mind will do for me what I want it to do. Now, the mind is under the influence of a number of things. One of them is sense perceptions. So you see something, you hear something, you come to know about something, you perceive something in one way or another through your sense organs, and your mind will be filled with that awareness and it will react to that as well. And so that all will be going on in your mind whether you like it or not, because your mind is under the influence of your sense perceptions. So what that means is that the soul, this power of the soul, has to also get power and influence over the way the sense organs perceive and how that perception goes from the organs to the soul, which is not a very big distance and is instant, you see. So we need to have power over that. So we'll talk about how you do that. But first of all, the other influences. So we have influence of memory. So we perceive something and we'll immediately associate it with a memory of something similar, so that matters of the past will come pouring into the mind along with the present situation that is coming in through the eyes and ears and nose and whatnot. So that means that the mind is constantly invaded by these influences. So one is memory, one is sense perceptions, then another one is sanskaras. Our sanskaras, you can say the negative sanskaras, get activated very quickly. Things which are in the sanskaras have a tendency to float up into the mind from a more subconscious place. And so that means that whatever is going on in our subconscious, this is also influencing the mind and feeding the mind. And so this is why people will say, oh, my mind is all over the place, right? Or somebody's mind is all over the place. And one of the things that is said when you experience that your mind is being pushed and pulled all the time by all these influences is that you cannot concentrate. So the act of concentration is something that is done by the intellect. So the intellect is a capacity of the soul that focuses the mind. It's one of the things the intellect does. So Baba has given us this mantra, Man Mana Bhav, in which the word man is there, the mind. So the mind has to be oriented and focused on the mind of God. It's a very subtle thing, and that kind of focus is very concentrated, and you find that it's quite difficult to sustain that kind of concentration for very long. And especially when you're under stress or duress, it's impossible to concentrate. And so Baba has been asking us to practice at every hour to stop and focus the mind. First of all, you focus the self in soul consciousness and you become the point. Then you be in remembrance of Baba, and this is called yog yukt. You know this word yog yukt. And so what you want to try to be is in a yog yukt stage pretty much most of the time. And in Daddy Janki's book called The Original Jewels, she's talking about how the mama and other of the daddies, many of whom have now transitioned into the advanced party, that the speciality of these souls and what made them into significant ancestor souls is their ability to live in a yog-yukt state. That means concentrated, detached, focused on Baba, and operating in the world without coming under any influences. And the soul is really inseparable from the mind, intellect, and sanskaras, but at the same time, Baba tells us very clearly that the mind, intellect, and sanskaras are organs that belong to the soul, just as the organs of the body belong to the soul. So the organs of the body are physical organs, and we can control our physical organs, we can control our appetites, our physical appetites, and we can also control our subtle organs, that is, our intellect, our mind, and our sanskaras. You follow me? So, this is really the practice that we have to do. And we need to bring all of these active elements to stillness. And so the first mantra that Baba gives us is Om Shanti. And you know that Dadi and all the Dadis now are all saying Om Shanti three times these days. Because the word Om Shanti brings many things to a still point. Because shanti, if you put it into English, I find it means three things. One is peace, one is silence, and one is stillness. So if you bring things to stillness, to peace, to silence, you think about all those three together, then you can draw your mind to a quiet place for some time. But the mind is such a thing that it won't stay still for more than a second. And so in order to make it stay still for an extended period of time, and not only that, but to bring it under your control, under your command, without suppressing it, without torturing it, without putting it into prison, but bring it under your command, then you have to use the thoughts that emerge from the mind of God, and those are to be found in the Murali. And in the Murali you find the knowledge that Chief Baba gives and its interpretation by Brahma Baba. And the interpretation is considered very important because Brahma Baba was guaranteed to be successful. And he actually went through 33 years of being in Gyan and became Karmatit. And then Mama also. So in the Murali today, Baba had told how Brahma Baba, during his time in Gyan, was living with his Lokic family. And he lived with his wife and his five children during the period in Karachi. And then when Shiv Baba told Brahma Baba and the family that now they will move to India from Pakistan because there had been the partition. So after 14 years of tapasya, in which all the BKs were somewhere around 350 BKs of different varieties, were living in six houses, and then they all moved to India and came to Mount Abu in 1951. You see? And so during that period, Brahma Baba was living with his family. And even for him, some of his family members were in Gyan and some of them were not. Some came to Abu and some did not. And of course, in any Indian family, there's the extended family and the society and the friends. And so Brahma Baba demonstrated how to remain yogyukt, and how to bring his mind under his control and still fulfill all the duties and responsibilities of a person who is a trustee. That means you are in the household and Baba has given you directions to take care of the family and to be interacting with people who are in Gyan and people who are not in Gyan in a yogyukt stage, and then the mind will be always oriented towards Shiv Baba, Shiv Baba's teachings, what Shiv Baba stands for, what his directions are, so that no matter what the circumstances are, the atmosphere will be the best possible. There are many examples in Brahma Baba's life of challenges, very extreme challenges that he encountered. And one of them was an assassination attempt. I don't know if you're aware of this. Someone was paid to kill Brahma Baba because he was disturbing the status quo of the society. And when the assassin came into Baba's house to kill him, and he saw Brahma Baba, he just saw light. And then he, you know, prostrated himself on the floor in front and confessed what he had come for, and Baba, you know, said it's okay and sent him on his way. So this ability to turn into a light in the face of a challenging situation is a very good example of how that attitude creates the atmosphere. So the first and foremost attitude that we must have, and an attitude is a position that you take or that you adopt. So the first attitude that we have is, I am a soul. And not only that, you are also a soul. And not only that, all souls are children of Baba. And not only that, all souls are originally pure. So the attitude, the fundamental attitude of soul consciousness, I'm a pure soul, you're a pure soul. Any challenging... Oh, one moment. So you have the attitude, I'm a soul, essentially pure, peaceful, powerful, loveful, blissful. You are also essentially that. And then there's a scene of drama that interferes with that. So the scene of drama presents itself to us through our sense perceptions. And the scene of drama has the potential to put us into some emotional state of fear or shock or dislike or surprise or one of those things. And then our mind is either invaded by that, or it is remaining under the influence of the attitude of the soul that I am this, and this scene of drama is simply a scene of drama. It may be a good scene, a bad scene, or whatever it is, but it's just a scene of drama. And it is absolutely optional for me as to whether I invite it to fill up my mind or not. For example, when we go in the Diamond Jubilee Hall in Shantivan on the 2nd, we will be going there to meet Baba. And so when Daddy Gulzar comes onto the stage, everybody starts having expectation that Baba will come, and she goes and she sits, and then we all go into meditation, and then Baba comes, and we are like totally open to listen with every pore of our skin and every cell of our body and mind to take in everything that Baba is saying to us. So we consciously open ourselves to that as much as we can. Is that right? And then if anything is going on in the room, that maybe somebody is, you know, calling out or something like this, that's a distraction. And you're either distracted by it momentarily, okay, you say, okay, that's not a problem, you come right back to it. Or you're so conscious of the peripheral things that your concentration doesn't even break. And you hold your concentration that you take in Every word that Baba is saying, every movement that Baba is making, the direction that Baba is looking at, the look in his eyes. You may sometime look at the screen to see in a little bit bigger format because you're a little distant, but your concentration is there. And you want to take in everything totally, right? And also the atmosphere there is very, very special because it's very unusual to get 20,000 people to sit quiet and pay attention for 4 or 5 hours. Have you found anything like that? No. You have to create a huge lot of noise for that, or it has to really be sensory overload for people to sit that focused. But here, Baba is filling the atmosphere with his presence. And everybody feels that, and he's filling the atmosphere with what he is saying. So there's the feeling, and there's the words, and the whole scene of Baba meeting us, and we meeting Baba, and we came for that purpose, and we want to hold that into our memory and keep that with us for as long as possible, because we know that this is a very sustaining thing. So the soul directs the mind and the intellect to open fully and take it all in. Now there may be other scenes in the drama that the intellect will detect that this is something that doesn't need to invade me, and so you close. You don't have to take it in. This is to fulfill the recommendation that Baba has told us, do not take sorrow. Yeah. If there is some sorrowful thing and you have to not take sorrow, you will say, well, I couldn't help it. It was in front of me. But Baba says, no, it's optional. You will take it if you decide to take it. But if the intellect is weak, it will not be able to do its job of closing the door. You understand what I'm saying? So that the intellect has to tell, or the soul and the intellect together has to adopt an attitude which is of detached observer, witness. There is this word sakshi drishta that comes in Hindi, which is where you're really, really detached from the situation and it does not penetrate, it doesn't go in. You see, and this takes a lot of practice for you to identify and evaluate using your power to discriminate and your power to judge. You have to use them instantly to evaluate. Okay, here is a scene. I need to be sakshi drishta, better be a detached witness while this scene is going on. So the scene begins. You instantly adopt the necessary attitude, the scene passes, then you can come back to normal. And in that way, that scene will not invade you and it will not take over all of your faculties, you see. Because if it does take it over, then you will be under that influence for quite some time. And it will make you behave in a certain way which may or may not be what you want to behave as, you see. And so this is called a spiritual power when you start to be able to do this. And you have to practice different attitudes. So if you have to see some bad scene and you see it as a detached observer, and then when you come back to normal, the whole, you can say, footage of that can be consigned to the drama and it's not going to resonate into the ensuing present moments. It'll be held in your attitude of a detached observer, and it is gone, you see, and this is known as past is past. When negative things happen and you take them in, it is not possible to let them go because they already invaded you, you see. So sometimes you may say, oh, well, I'm still resonating from some bad scene from 5 years ago. And then how you know it's resonating is it's still coming in your mind. Or you're still thinking about it, you're still talking about it, you're complaining about it, you're distracted by it, you see. And you are unable to let it go because it took over and it has, you are like a slave to it. And you can't tell it to go away. It's like a landlord with a tenant who doesn't want to go. That's, you know, it won't go. And maybe they have some legal situation where they're just there and they mess up your house and they just won't go. So these scenes are like that. They take over, they invade, and they won't go from your mind. And there's nothing your intellect can do about it. You can say to it, oh, go away, and it'll say, well, guess what? I'm not going to. And I'm going to come in your meditation, especially at Amrit Vela, and I'm going to bother you the whole time. And you're going to be a total failure. It does this, you see. So this is a challenge. So during the time when something like that is not going on, you're in a very good situation to practice to bring the mind to stillness. And also you're practicing, especially as a Tivra Purusharati, that means somebody who's making high speed, high quality spiritual practice and meditation. So you're practicing to draw power from Shiv Baba so that you actually can do what you want to do. So when the intellect is filled with the power from Shiv Baba through practice of a long time, then you're able to actually tell your mind to cooperate with you, and it will. And this is called the conquest of the mind. So you will decide upon an attitude which is appropriate according to what's happening. And then you will be able to fill the atmosphere with your attitude that is based in your use of jnana for that particular situation. Dadi was telling me something quite interesting a couple of days ago. She said there are sometimes situations where you do a lot of work, maybe some creative work, and you make that thing, but you cannot take the fruit of that. Another person takes that and they take all the benefit of your creation. So sometimes when that happens, a person will feel resentful that, look, I did this work, you're taking all the credit, what about me? You see? So this then becomes an attitude of resentment. And that attitude of resentment creates an atmosphere of conflict, resentment, criticism. All kinds of stories start happening, and it becomes a very unpleasant atmosphere. And because of that, you're creating karmic accounts because of that attitude, because of those thoughts. And you're losing all your power. And you end up depressed, sorrowful. You can't do anything about your situation, so you do not feel like a master, you feel everything is unfair and so on and so on. And you'll carry on thinking about it for a long, long time. So you will perpetuate that atmosphere for a very long time. It's a negative atmosphere and doesn't do anyone any good. So now, going back to what Daddy said, you may do some very nice work, someone else may take all the credit, but there's a spiritual law at work which very often people don't know about. If such a thing happens, you have to allow it to be what it is, because you will get the power. They may get the credit, you will get the power. And that's something to be thinking about, because that's what you want. You're not really doing things to get credit. What you want is to get empowered. And you can't get empowered that easily. So when you are in a situation like that, you do the work, someone else takes the credit, remember, you will get the power. What does that mean, you will get the power? It means that you will be able to hold the attitude that whatever it is perfectly okay. Plus, you know, you get the power, so that makes it double okay. On the first level, it's okay because it is drama. And anything that's in the drama, knowledge will tell us whatever is in the drama is good. So I cannot resent something that's good. It doesn't make sense. So hold the attitude that it is drama, and plus the attitude it is good, and plus another attitude you get the power. And that means you'll be able to maintain an atmosphere that's very positive. Nothing wrong happened. Everything's cool. I am happy. Not only that, but I'm kind of promoted and progressing. So what's the problem? And then in that way, even if it's apparently a bad thing that has happened, you're not feeling bad about it. And so there's no negative thing that goes into the atmosphere. And in that way, you have actually controlled the atmosphere. Normally, it would go to something very negative if you do what people normally do, which is get upset when somebody takes credit for their thing. But your jnanis, your yogis, you know things that other people don't know. And so applying what you know means forming an attitude and taking a position which is very powerful and positive, and the whole atmosphere is created like that. And in this way, a yogi, a BK, is able to take a situation that in conventional morality would be considered very bad, and you have, you know, righteous indignation, and you're justified in getting upset, angry, whatever, whatever. We don't do that anymore, because we know that conventional morality doesn't work. It's not based in truth. It's not based in the subtleties of spiritual wisdom. But we have been taught so many things, and then we have to use those things so that we can create an atmosphere that's good. Now, the one thing that Baba talks to us about pretty regularly is, children, make yourself ever ready, because anything could happen any time. And in an overall way, we hear frequently that there's going to be world destruction. And in the old days, if we would say something like that, people would think we were mad. Nowadays, we don't need to say anything like that, because other people are telling us. You know, because there's so many things, excuse me, that happen And now when some very, you know, bad thing like an earthquake or a tsunami or a flood or too much snow, too much rain, hurricane, all these natural calamities are happening. We have economic calamities, you see. And what is the response of a BK when that situation happens to you or near you? The first thing you say is, oh, well, Baba told us. We already knew in advance that something like this is going to happen. So we are very much forewarned. And so our attitude immediately is, well, Baba told us. And then Baba has also told us that this is going to happen, and it's good because ultimately the extremes of destruction open up the gates of heaven and enable us to return home. In the last Murli, Baba was saying, this is your return journey. And so our attitude towards the breakdowns in the Iron Aged world is, Baba told us there's going to be a good outcome. It is as it should be. There's nothing to be confused about or upset about. It's everything going according to the plan. And we have to be stable, steady, unshakable, detached, loving, and we have to serve through the mind. So we know what position to take, we know what action to take, and therefore the atmosphere becomes filled with what we call service through the mind. That is, your mind is so pure and stable and steady that you can extend a radiance of the feelings of peace and love and send out waves of happiness that can actually touch people's minds who may be very confused by the situation because they don't know what we know. So this is how the attitude can change the atmosphere. And Baba had said that service through the mind is a very elevated kind of service. And service through the mind means adopting the correct attitude according to jnana that is required by some or another's situation or circumstance, such that the power of your awareness of your original qualities and your absorption of Baba's virtues into yourself through long practice of yoga, all of this can be extended in waves and rays into the atmosphere. So then the atmosphere, instead of being filled by the confusion of a situation, that is kind of muffled by your mental service, and the atmosphere is changed into one of the feelings of a spiritual power, a spiritual quality. People will feel a presence of love, a presence of peace, a presence of power. So this will enable them to actually get through that situation, because situations arise, they come to a peak, and then they fall. They're always having some duration, which is limited. And it's possible for our attitude to be sustained for the amount of time that we want. So if a situation arises for 2 days, we can extend an atmosphere for 3 days or 5 days. But it requires focus, and it has to be sustained. And this is why Baba says that now you have to practice to keep the mind in a still stage, a peaceful stage, a quiet stage, so that it will do what you want, when you want, for how long you want, if you want, until you want. So in that way, you become the master of the mind, and you also become the master of the world. Maya cannot interfere in there because you know too much on the one hand, and you have enough strength to adopt that attitude which will actually neutralize or defuse the potency or potential of Maya to create emotional disturbance. Do you see how this works? And so we have to churn this knowledge in such a way that we understand it all very, very clearly. And once we understand it clearly, then we can set about doing it. And Baba has also given us the special blessing, which Dadi Gulzar was reminding us about, that Baba gives us this time of Amrit Vela, in which we can take a blessing, that whatever blessing we want, we can take that during Amrit Vela. So we have to be ready for every Amrit Vela in such a way that we know what blessing we want. And we take that blessing from Baba, and then the accumulation of our spiritual skill and potency is maximized, so that we are very efficient in how we meditate. We don't just sit there and wonder what's going to happen next. But we're very, very focused. We know what we want. We know how to take from Baba. We understand where we're weak. And we know how to use blessings from Baba to strengthen us in areas where we may be weak. Because He is the Almighty, the Omnipotent. And so whichever areas we may have any weakness, we can actually fill up that weakness or deficiency directly from Baba. And He is available for that. The thing is, if we don't do it, then it's not His fault. You know, if we don't do it, it means we didn't get the point, or we didn't realize, or we didn't, you know, figure it out. But He spells it out so clearly that we're going to be hard put to it to say, oh, well, I didn't know. And He'll say, well, were you present for such and such a Murli? Yes. Well, I told you. I didn't pay attention, or you didn't remember, you see. So what we have to simply do is increase our focusing power. And we do this by practice. And we also do this by using the knowledge of drama. Because the knowledge of drama simply is that even if you made a mistake, this is also drama. So let it go. Don't spend hours and hours being guilty. Because it's a waste of time. It is in drama. You made the mistake. It is in drama. Don't do it again. That's all. So move on, you see. If somebody else did something bad, okay, it is in drama. They always do it like this, every kalpa, no problem. We still survive it. It still comes, it happens, it passes, let it go. You see. So for the things that happen in the present, we have all the information necessary to let them go. Things that we held on to in the past that are still operating in the present, we can still adopt an attitude to them retroactively and then let them go. Sometimes you had to work through something to get the right angle on it. And then when you see it for what it is, you can let it go. I see, because we have enough power, enough information, enough skills. All these eight powers that Baba gives us, these are instruments and tools which enable us to manage the different challenges that come. And if we fail, that's okay, because you practice again. And the situation will keep coming until you get good and skilled, and then it will be able to be let go. See. So the whole thing is a game. And the good player of the game is the one who practices to get skilled, and then when the drama happens, that some challenge comes, you practice what you have been studying, and then you evaluate yourself. How did I do? You look at it retrospectively and you see, did I use the right power? Did I come at it from the right perspective? Did I use the appropriate pieces of knowledge? If I did it wrong, then why did I do it wrong? What emotion did I get carried away with? And then you can understand, so you become more experienced. And then when a similar thing comes, you do it better every time. So whenever you get it right, you're also creating a very, very magical and pure and powerful atmosphere. So this is what Baba is asking us to do. So we can practice that and then see by 2nd of March, this is just a few days away, what Baba is going to tell us next, and if he's going to give us a sense of the results of our practice, because he did ask us to get things ready before Shivratri, and we did put our hands up and said, yes, yes, no big deal, we will do it. And then now we have still a day or two in which to check that did we really do that. Okay, Om Shanti.